Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Sorts of petty all the time around here. Nothing new, nothing surprising. It is what you've come to expect here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. ESPN sports betting analyst Aaron Dolan going to join us here in a couple of minutes. Get your money right heading into this weekend because we got Super Wild Card Weekend. We got extra games, which means exactly what the NFL has always wanted, Chris. Extra money to be had for everyone involved.
No doubt about it, but it's a win for all involved, man, because the interest in the NFL is at an all-time high. All you got to do is look at the top-rated programs, top-rated telecasts throughout the course of 2021, and that tells you all you need to know about the popularity of the NFL. So let's get it going, man. I'm excited about Super Wild Card Weekend. We got a lot of great matchups. And hopefully we got some news and notes and nuggets for our audience to make some coin when it comes to laying some money on these games.
Speaking of news and notes, in about 10 minutes, we'll also get back to the news of the day around the NFL. Adam Schefter, as well as Jim McClain from the Houston Chronicle, reporting that David Culley, the Houston Texans head coach, has been fired by the organization. He becomes the first one-and-done, one-year head coach in the franchise's history. We've seen Adam Schefter tweeting already about a possible name emerging as the favorite, so we can certainly get into plenty of that because, Chris, we look around here now. Adam Schefter tweeted it out. The quiet thing, very loud here. Mike Tomlin is now the only black head coach left in the NFL at this point. We know this hiring cycle is going to have plenty of candidates that would certainly change that, but no one's wrong to assume that this league is not going to reward that because we've seen it happen way too many times where minority candidates have had to struggle for way too long to get to the same spot as their counterparts.
Exactly, Gojo. And I get that David Culley wasn't a perfect coach, but he was parachuted into a disastrous situation. And so for a first-time head coach to be able to stabilize the franchise the way that he did and have them playing competitive football, even though they found themselves on the losing side more often than not, I think that's saying something in terms of the level of respect that he commanded from everybody throughout that organization, particularly the guys in the locker room. So for Nick Caserio, Jack Easterby, and Cal McNair to make this decision to only give him 1 year, it just seems like they're out of pocket for it. You can make any excuse that you want in terms of him being bad with in-game management, clock management, whatever. But when it came to whether or not his players played hard for him, I don't think that's a question mark. And so for the organization to pivot this quickly off of him, I think that's an embarrassment, and it speaks to a larger issue in terms of the NFL moving the goalposts when it comes to the runway that they give black head coaches in order to turn programs around versus their white counterparts. When I came into the league, there were 6 black head coaches. Now there's only one. If you don't think there's a problem, then you're not paying attention.
So we will give plenty of time to that headline and who Adam Schefter's already tweeted out as emerging as the favorite to land that job. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We also got to look ahead to this weekend, like we mentioned, and go out to the Goodyear Hotline where we bring in Aaron Dolan, ESPN sports betting analyst. You can check her out as a part of the Daily Wager each and every day here on ESPN. Aaron, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much for inviting me on the show. I'm excited.
No, it's nice to have around you here. We normally have Tyler Foljam coming around these parts. We decided we need to make the upgrade right now, Aaron. So we're hoping you can help out everyone around here because we are getting ready. Super Wild Card Weekend, the playoffs here. For you, Aaron, going at this, how different is it getting ready to bet on the postseason than the regular season?
Yeah, so now that we're in the playoffs, I mean, we're talking totally different betting strategies. Usually we have a Thursday night football game, and then we have the full slate of games on Sunday and a Monday night football game. And what you do for those games is try to find where the books are not really looking and try to exploit those areas. Now we have 6 games, so you're going to be able, not going to be able to kind of do that. And the lines are changing pretty frequently. Now these lines are going to be sharp, so it's going to be harder to bet this week as opposed to, let's say, week 17. That week 18 last week was an absolute nightmare disaster. I fortunately did well, but it was really hard to bet considering we weren't sure how each team was going to play and who was going to start in those games. But we always have to factor in, of course, the injuries, COVID, things like that. So you really want to try that sweet spot and try to find that area where you can kind of either isolate teams or look at team totals or first half markets or things like that. But again, anything can kind of happen with the COVID related news. So kind of have to wait for that and just pray and hope that a team you bet on doesn't end up losing their quarterback the Sunday morning.
Aaron, you mentioned isolating point totals or first half totals. I wanted to ask you, how should bettors approach other props, other markets like prop bets moving into the playoffs?
Mm-hmm. So I personally, what I do for player props is I will look at a team and break down, you know, what's going on during each game for each team, and then try to think, okay, how do I expect these player props to be listed? Let's say, for example, you're looking at this Eagles team. They love to run the ball, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense is designed to stop the run. So maybe those running back props aren't going to either be as high and you want to take them thinking a player will go over, or maybe you think, you know, something's going to be posted and it's too high and you think it's going to go under. So what I suggest doing for that is kind of doing your own research before the player props are even posted. As opposed to previous seasons, we're seeing player props posted pretty late, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And when they first go live, it's kind of the time to capitalize and take advantage of those props, jump on them immediately, because they seem to swing pretty high, I personally think, by Sunday morning. You don't want to really be betting those player props that late in the game. So it's kind of just up to you to keep an eye and monitor the books and make sure that you're looking for when the player props become available.
Kane Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to ESPN sports betting analyst Aaron Dolan on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, let's get into this weekend here. We got the two Saturday games, Vegas at Cincinnati and New England at Buffalo. How are you going at the Saturday slate?
Yes, when I'm looking at this Saturday slate, I like the Chiefs first half -7. I gave this out yesterday. This line has moved up to -7.5 at this point on Caesars. Not too surprising. Kansas City is 9-8 against the spread in that first half. And the last time these two teams played 3 weeks ago, Kansas City was up by 23 points at half. Pittsburgh became the first team in that loss in NFL history to trail by at least 23 points at halftime in three straight road games. We know the Pittsburgh Steelers, they come alive in that third quarter, that fourth quarter, and I just don't really trust him to get anything going at the beginning of the game. And I'm sure you guys saw Ben Roethlisberger's press conference yesterday. He's just going out there and having fun. I'm not sure if that means he's actually going to play well or if that means he's just going out and just kind of letting things play out how they should and not really being as competitive as per usual. But another thing I like is the Bills team total over 24. The line did just move in the last hour to 24.5. I still do like this, even though it's juiced to the under. I think the Bills, considering they rank number one in yards per play and points allowed per game, I think they really can get things going on offense against the Patriots team. I know the Pats, we kind of in the middle of the season were so high on the Pats because they're on that win streak. They were also covering in that win streak. But I think the Bills overall are just a better team. And since 2010, rookie quarterbacks are 2-6 in playoff games. And the only two wins came in games where a rookie was starting for both teams. So I expect the Buffalo Bills to be able to put up some points and win this one.
Aaron, looking at the Sunday games, you got the 49ers against the Cowboys, the Eagles against the Bucs, and then the Steelers visiting Arrowhead and playing the Chiefs. What's the over-under or what's the line that you like the most in the Sunday schedule?
Oh, I wish that I was on camera right now, but having a little bit of technical difficulties. I have a big Eagles helmet behind me. but unfortunately, even as a fan, Eagles team total, I loved it under 19.5. It's moved to 17.5 now, and honestly, I still think they would go under that. I mean, the Eagles are 0-6 and lost by an average of 13 points against teams with double-digit wins. The Bucs are going to blow them out of the water, unfortunately. I hate to see it. The Bucs are only allowing 21 points per game. They're going to be in Tampa Bay. And as I kind of mentioned already or alluded to at the beginning of this, the Eagles' bread and butter is running that ball in the Bucs' defense. I mean, they surrendered the fewest rushing yards in the NFC. They gave up less than 93 yards per game on the ground. So, unfortunately for the Eagles, it's going to be a tough weekend.
Man, I don't know what it is about our show and ESPN Radio. We always seem to find our way back to Philly fans. It is just written in the stars around here for ESPN.
Do you like them at least?
Listen, we have Aaron, I promise, we have had so many people. I have said ESPN Radio leads this company in per capita Philadelphia fans and natives around this show. So, you're more than welcome around these parts here. Absolutely.
At least we're honest. You know, I wasn't like, they're going to come out great and they're going to cover. I'm just like, this is the reality. It's unfortunate, but.
And listen, Philly fans, very, very well aware of reality and the situation. So, you know, Aaron is going to keep it real with you. Check her out on the Daily Wager and at Aaron Kate Dolan on Twitter for more great tips. Aaron, we appreciate your time and I'm sure we'll talk to you very soon. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Good luck this weekend.
There we go. Let's get the money right here. I got them all jotted down here. Getting ready to make this bread here. But Coming up next, let's get to the situation that is dominating NFL headlines today. David Culley out as the Texans head coach. Why did it happen, and where are they planning on going next? We'll try and answer that next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline, and I'd be remiss if I didn't bring this up because I am getting ready to go back and do battle with my arch nemesis again tomorrow. Chris, it's time to go to the dentist. I don't think you and I were yet working together this summer. I went to the dentist in June for the first time in 3 years. I didn't realize it until I walked into the dentist's office and they kind of gave me that speech. And I had everybody against me. My family was all sitting there waiting for me to go and say, oh man, you're going to learn, get your mouth scraped up, get them to tell you you got cavities. And I walked out there with the cleanest bill of health. And so I didn't know if this was a spot where I could say I showed everyone what that mouth do, but I still feel like I did.
Yeah, I think that's not what that phrase was meant for. I see how you're trying to apply it. I don't know if it necessarily works. But good on you, though, for not going to the dentist for 3 years, almost 1,000 days, and still being able to come out with, you know, a relatively good set of teeth. Congratulations.
Built different, man. I don't know what it is. Tiger blood running through my veins here. Kids, brush, floss, and then don't listen to anything else your parents tell you. You can do this. You are capable. Yeah. You have the tools. Now, besides that, Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Let's look at the NFL's usual tire fire, the Houston Texans, and see what the hell is going on here. Because we had the news reported first by John McClain from the Houston Chronicle and confirmed by ESPN's Adam Schefter that they had fired one-year head coach David Culley, making him the first one-and-dud coach in the Texans franchise history. And, Chris, we knew what that meant, that after the firing of him and Brian Flores, there was now only one black head coach left in the NFL currently in Mike Tomlin. We've gotten this update, Chris. What does this mean to you? As Adam Schefter tweets out about a half hour ago, Patriots linebacker coach Gerard Mayo is expected to emerge as the leading candidate for the Texans head coaching job, per sources.
Well, I guess that's Nick Caserio wanting to bring in one of his lieutenants, somebody that he has some familiarity with from New England. I guess that's the only thing that I could see from this. I don't know that this is going to change Deshaun Watson's mindset in terms of wanting to be traded from that franchise, but I think when they're looking at the hard reset, Gerard Mayo probably got the seal or the vote of approval from Bill Belichick. I think Nick Caserio, with another year of seasoning under his belt as a defensive coordinator and a coach, that's a direction that the Texans felt comfortable going in. I struggle to understand what exactly they expected from David Culley, because it seems like he did a solid job based on the state of the program down there with the Texans. I'm not quite sure what more he could have done, what more they expected out of the job, but to fire him after only 1 year and not give him a fair shake to get that thing turned around and to actually get him some talent to go out there and compete, I feel like that's a little bit unfair when it comes to, you know, David Culley waiting as long as he did to get his first head coaching job in the National Football League.
Yeah, Chris, I think going back to this time last year when this job came open, when we talked about David Culley end up being the one taking it, a large part of that was because no one else wanted the damn job. Like, you had all the turmoil surrounding Deshaun Watson not wanting to be a part of the team, then replaced by Deshaun Watson's legal issues surrounding this team. And so clearly we all knew back when David Culley was hired, he was getting pulled into an unfair situation to come clean up somebody else's mess. He was a guy that was well-respected around the league, but had never really been someone flirting seriously with head coaching jobs and all of this. The reason it still remains a bad look is what we said before about the way the NFL has already treated minority coaching candidates, people that have been head coaches or prospective head coaches. But Chris, it's also, I think, a warning shot to whoever's getting ready to come over here. The process for decision-making is still lacking here. Like, when you look at the top of this organization here, when you look at ownership, when you look at, I mean, call what it is, Jack Easterby, who was talked about as sort of a shadow GM in all of this as well, the same decision makers in place using the same faulty process to get from point A to point B because of the way they've poisoned the well on this so badly for the players that were supposed to be important to you in years past. I don't know why all of a sudden or short of time, short of just a year passing and some of these things being talked about less, what would make this a more appealing job than it was last year when no one wanted the damn thing?
Well, I think you're making a great point in terms of their process and how they come to making big decisions that altered the trajectory of the franchise. But, Gojo, I'm going to take this thing on a macro level and look at it from the player's perspective. Like, if you're a player that has options, why would you choose to go to the Houston Texans as an organization? If you're a free agent, why would you go to Houston? The only reason that I could think of is that no other team around the National Football League would want you, which means that franchise is now going to be in a position where they've got to overspend when it comes to trying to get free agents to come sign up and play there. They're going to have to get hostages. They're going to have to hit on draft picks because they're not going to have a lot of veterans that are going to want to be a part of the program that has demonstrated the type of dysfunction that we've seen from the Houston Texans over the course of the last 4 or 5 years. And to cap it all off, when you have an owner in place in Cal McNair, guys haven't forgotten the statement that Cal McNair, when it came to kneeling and the protest during the national anthem, Cal McNair said you can't let the inmates run the prison. Guys around the National Football League haven't forgotten that. So in terms of the overall perception and how ownership in the front office treats the players and treats the coaching staff, there's a lot of show and prove when it comes to what the Houston Texans want to fancy themselves as. And so that's going to be something that you got to keep an eye on moving forward. And that's why I don't think this is going to be one of the most attractive jobs in the hiring cycle.
No, there's too many questions here. What are their motivations with this relative to Deshaun Watson? That situation that, again, just because we haven't heard a lot about it recently doesn't mean it's any closer to being resolved, at least as far as we know here. It just seems like a place you'd need too many assurances. And then you would, again, have to trust Cal McNair and Jack Easterby, two people whose value and whose decision-making came under fire so much before this past season here. As, again, we see now, I know, say it all the time, fair is a place where they judge pigs here. Expecting anything fair to happen in the NFL is one thing. But this is a clear message that no matter what you did in this organization here, this was not going to be about going out and getting results. This was going to be about whatever their shadowy plan was during the entirety of this time that David Culley was the head coach for the Texans. Now, again, according to reports, no longer the head coach. And according to Adam Schefter, Jerod Mayo, Patriots linebacker coach, now emerging as the leading candidate for that job in the early going here. Coming up next, we've talked a lot about that Patriot influence on this situation. Let's take a look at the Patriots' actual matchup heading into this weekend and figure out if this is the best coaching job we've seen from Bill Belichick during his time in Foxborough. We'll get to that after this word from Body Armor. Now, guys, let Body Armor Light help you achieve your fitness goals this year. Body Armor Light's the low-calorie sports drink that's hydrating your active lifestyle. It has no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. It comes in a ton of delicious flavors: peach mango, tropical coconut, strawberry lemonade. Body Armor Light, keeping you hydrated during your workouts and your busy day. From now until April 30th, when you buy $20 of any Body Armor product, you're going to earn $10 in fitness cash towards select fitness retailers nationwide. Learn more at bacommittofit.com. That's bacommittofit.com. Back after this, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty, guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And that's what we got to head back to as we get ready for Super Wild Card Weekend. The Patriots and the Bills, round three. And Jim McBride, Patriots reporter for the Boston Globe, joins us here now. Jim, for this matchup this weekend, a lot of the focus certainly going to be on rookie quarterback Mac Jones. But I want to look for Bill Belichick. Knowing he had a rookie quarterback, knowing how he had to reinvent this roster, where does this rank among the coaching jobs we've seen from Bill in New England over the years?
Boy, right up there. It's been the way he's been able to gel this roster, you know, spending, an unprecedented amount in free agency and bringing a lot of veterans in and having a rookie quarterback and being able to mesh all that, go to a quarterback competition during camp between Mac and Cam Newton. You know, and obviously, you know, as it turns out, he picked the right guy. But it's really been a very impressive, turnaround after last year's 7-9 record.
Jim, nobody's thinking that the Patriots can replicate their formula for success against the Bills earlier in this season with the weather and the elements. But Going into this matchup, what are the challenges or the advantages that the Patriots could exploit when it comes to playing in zero-degree temperatures?
Yeah, I think the big challenge is containing Josh Allen. You know, and Coach Belichick talked about it this morning with us, that, you know, discipline and awareness are the key words when it comes to chasing him, because, you know, you've got to be aggressive, but you've also got to be smart, because he uses his legs so well. And we saw that in the second matchup, you know, the day after Christmas, when, you know, he just ran wild. You know, when the Patriots would try to get pressure, you know, off the edges, he would find holes up the middle and just, you know, turn into a running back. And, you know, that's really the big challenge, is how to, you know, maintain the edge, but also be aggressive in their pursuit of Josh, but not letting him, you know, slip through their tackles. So good tackling. I think the way they can exploit is kind of take a page out of that first game back in early December when we saw the, you know, the wind. It's not going to be that windy, but it's going to be cold. I think the Patriots go to kind of a smash mouth attack again, bring in that extra offensive lineman and ride Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson to, you know, kind of ground those yards out and wilt away that clock. And I know it sounds like a cliche, but really it's probably their best chance of winning this game.
Jim McBride from the Boston Globe with us on the Goodyear Hotline. And in that game, we know one of the famous headlines was Mac Jones, rookie quarterback for the Patriots, attempting only three passes. And Jim, I feel like for this season, the outside noise and conversation around Mac Jones has been all over the place and kind of dimmed in the last few weeks. Internally and around that team, what is the confidence level in Mac Jones heading into his first postseason run?
Yeah, his teammates love him, and they love the way he's been able to, you know, overcome adversity and take on challenges. I mean, everyone thought that at the beginning of the training camp, this was going to be a redshirt year for Mac, but he never saw it that way. He went out and took the challenge of competing against Cam Newton every day, and he just did his thing, and he quietly became a leader. And then, you know, they didn't start off too well, a 2-4 record. People were doubting them. You know, why didn't they stick with Cam? Why are they going with a rookie? They invested all this money. They need to go veteran. But he bounced back and really was a key factor in the 7-game run that put them right back in the playoff race. So I think they love the way he takes on a challenge. I think they love the way he bounces back from adversity. One thing that, you know, Josh McDaniels always tells us about is that the kid makes mistakes, but he rarely makes them again. He learns quickly. And I think that's, you know, one of the real qualities of a leader is to be able to recognize your mistakes, learn from it, and not make it again.
Jim, anytime we talking about postseason football, situational football is absolutely going to be key. With both of these teams in third down and red zones, they're really good in the National Football League. They both rank in the top 10 in third down percentage on both sides of the ball. The Patriots are right outside of the top 10 when it comes to red zone percentage offense at 11, but they're both right there in terms of being in top 10 in both categories on both sides of the ball. So what's going to be the edge, or what's going to be the matchup that you're going to be keeping an eye on when it comes to situational football and execution in that critical phase of the game?
Yeah, it's surprising because as the Patriots have kind of stumbled down the stretch here, losing three out of their last four, it's been that third down that's really killed them. They have not been able to get off the field on defense on third down. And it was really highlighted by Josh Allen in that rematch. You know, every time the Patriots got them in third and long, he would pull a rabbit out of his hat and make the first down. And it kind of got frustrating. You could see the Patriots defense getting really frustrated in that game. You know, they had that kind of get right game against Jacksonville. But those old kind of habits kind of reared their ugly head again against the Dolphins. You know, they couldn't get off the field on third down. Tua was making plays with his feet. They had some uncharacteristic penalties. You know, it's just bad situational football. Like you said, bad mistakes, turnovers. If they get off to another slow start, it's going to be a long day for the Patriots in Buffalo.
Jim, certainly this time of year also all about who's available to you here. As we get past the midweek point here, looking at the injury report, is there any name that you're keeping an eye out for the Patriots that could be big, not available to them this weekend?
Yeah, I think it's Kyle Duggar, their second-year safety. You know, he's missed the last 2 weeks of practice. He missed the Dolphins game with a hand injury. You know, I was at practice the last 2 days and didn't see him during the media window, but he's been listed as limited both days. So I guess they're bringing him out later for, you know, for situational things. But he's probably the third leading tackler on the team. He's got four interceptions. He does a great job supporting run in the box, and he covers tight ends really well. So, you know, him not being there is huge. And then they've got another defensive starter, Jalen Mills, is on the COVID list. He's been a starting, you know, perimeter corner all year long, done a very good job opposite J.C. Jackson. If they don't have either Duggar or Mills, that secondary, you know, there's going to be some shifting pieces and, you know, some practice squad call-ups. And, you know, that's not good news against this Bills receiving core and Josh.
Certainly not as we get ready for Bills and Patriots Part 3. All great stuff to keep an eye on. Jim, enjoy the game this weekend. We appreciate you giving us some time today. Thanks so much, sir.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Chris.
Jim McBride, again, Patriots reporter at the Boston Globe, joining us and getting us up to date as we get ready to head into that matchup. But coming up next, Mac Jones, just one of many quarterbacks getting ready to make their postseason debut this weekend. Who are we most comfortable with heading in under center? We'll tell you that next here. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
They said we were nuts back in the fall of 1979, saying that all sports 24 hours a day would make it on TV. And now you say we're nuts trying to start ESPN Radio? We're dead serious. We know you like us on TV, and if you do, you'll love us on radio.
30 years and counting. This is ESPN Radio. This is ESPN Radio.
Danny Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Coming up in 10 minutes, we will head down to Houston to talk to Lance Zierlein about the state of the Texans' head coaching job and what happens now going forward. The process that got us here seems pretty clear and pretty damning. We'll also at some point get to, I kid you not, as I read this headline, a Taco Bell subscription service. Chris, I don't know if you know this about me or not here. In the pantheon of fast food joints around here, again, I love all our potential advertisers equally in the eyes of myself and God. But Taco Bell for college Mike Golic Jr. was the absolute manna from heaven. That was Mecca. That was my beacon in the night. So this is pretty incredible.
Yeah, the quesadilla was a go-to for me as well. They kind of lost me when they got rid of the Mexican pizza, though. I'm just saying, that was one that broke my heart a little bit. But I can see where you're going with that one. One of those late-night runs to Taco Bell when you were in college, that saved your life.
Man, the grilled stuffed beef burrito was the thing that brought me back from the dead. Mountain Dew Baja Blast. The fact that they had their own commissioned flavor of Mountain Dew, that should tell you, like, they're clearly set apart from the rest of the animal kingdom in this category. So we will get you all caught up to speed on the Taco Lover's Pass that I will more than likely be buying here very soon here. But before we get to all of that, we got football to be played this weekend, I guess. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And, Chris, we got a bunch of first-timers getting ready to roll out here this weekend. And this feels like maybe more than usual. Now, some of this could certainly be me being prisoner of the moment, but we talked about Mac Jones for the Patriots getting ready to be a rookie entering this sphere, but he's not the only quarterback making his first postseason trip. We have Kyler Murray, Mac Jones, David Carr, and Derek Carr, Jalen Hurts, and Joe Burrow getting ready to make their postseason trip this weekend. Who are you most interested in here, Chris? Who do you have the most confidence in heading into this weekend?
Well, I think it has to be Burrow, right? I think he's head and shoulders above the rest of the field that's making their playoff debuts at the quarterback spot. I mean, just the conversation and how it shifted from the beginning of this football season to now surrounding Joe Burrow is fascinating to me. I mean, this is a guy a couple of months ago where people were saying he was clearly below Justin Herbert and below Pat Mahomes when it came to the young up-and-coming quarterbacks in the AFC. Even Josh Allen, people were saying that Joe Burrow is not on that level. But here we are now, and I think it's a flip of a coin when it comes down to Joe Burrow or Justin Herbert in terms of which player a lot of folks in NFL circles would have as the better quarterback. And so I think it's fascinating to me how Joe Burrow in this run that he's made over the course of the last month of the regular season has ascended into that territory. Because I think coming into this year, people put Joe Burrow right on par with Baker Mayfield in terms of the expectations and their ability to be a difference maker. But I think he's clearly vaulted himself into the conversation as one of the best quarterbacks in the AFC and maybe one of the best young quarterbacks in all of the NFL. So I have to have the most confidence in him. And then when you look at the supporting cast that he has to work with, Gojo, I mean, you've got Ja'Marr Chase, who's a home run hitter every time he touches the ball. You got T. Higgins. You got Tyler Boyd. You got C.J. Uzomah. And in the backfield, you got Joe Mixon. So there really isn't anything that you don't feel great about when it comes to the skill position players that Joe Burrow has at his disposal. The only question mark is whether or not that offensive line for the Bengals could keep him upright against that Raiders pass rush.
Yeah, that's been a failing grade for them all season here. Over 50 sacks allowed by that Bengals offensive line.
Ugh.
But you're right, man. The Burrow versus Herbert thing seems like attitude versus ability, right? Because no one's going to confuse Joe Burrow with having a cannon ever. That wasn't his story at LSU, and it ain't his story now. Like, Justin Herbert has that Josh Allen-level physical gifts associated with him that's always going to make it tough, but man, Joe Burrow just swaggers into every situation and manages to make it better. It's so remarkable to watch the effect that he's had on this entire franchise, Chris, because we know, you know this, as someone who lived in the AFC North for some time, that is a place that has been so content with mediocrity for so long. And while I still have questions about Mike Brown and that ownership group, their ability to actually go out here and support talent, because we've seen them fail that in the past, Joe Burrow and his effect on this franchise and its perception is starting to make me think long and hard about that going forward.
Well, let's also keep this in mind, Gojo. Mike Brown and that Bengals organization went out this offseason and spent a bunch of money because I think they knew what they had in Joe Burrow, and it was a matter of trying to put the requisite pieces in place to allow this team to compete for a division title. And so from that perspective, it's mission accomplished. Now they got to continue to build on it because they got a quarterback that can help them do high-level winning. And so it's a matter of being able to protect him moving forward. But and just looking at this matchup with the Raiders, like just thinking about it, in the regular season finale in a win-and-in scenario game, Justin Herbert and the Chargers came up short against Derek Carr and the Raiders. If Joe Burrow is able to go out there and best Derek Carr and that same Raiders team a week later, I think that changes the conversation in terms of having Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert on the same level. Even though from a physical talent standpoint, they're not equal, Joe Burrow, from a productivity and a culture-changing standpoint, seems like he could put himself head and shoulders above Justin Herbert.
It's going to be hard to argue that. I know for a lot of people looking at Justin Herbert, there's going to be conversations around Joe Lombardi, his offensive coordinator, about what he's done with his gifted quarterback in that offense. Because, Chris, the best thing I can say about Zach Taylor in this offense is somewhere in the middle of this season, they decided to get out of the way of their quarterback. They said, hey, we're just going to let you operate the offense that looks a lot like what you ran at LSU. We're going to say, we know we can't protect you. We're going to trust you to get out of those issues and get the ball to the playmakers. And it's worked famously so far. So there's going to be questions about those two tied to the hip forever. I'm with you. There's no question about Joe Burrow being the first-time quarterback this postseason I'm most confident in. Number two seems to be most interesting to me because I would have Kyler Murray in this spot. I think the Cardinals quarterback has shown he is just such a different talent. He's not quite Lamar Jackson in terms of his run threat, but he's close in that dimension that he adds there, and they're going to need him in that spot, Chris. I think between him and Derek Carr, that's where you've got the real debate in this.
Yeah, I think both of those guys are a flip of a coin, but I've got Derek Carr as my number two. Just the way that he finished the season, going into Indianapolis and beating Indy when they had everything to play for, when they could have punched their ticket in Week 17 to the postseason. And then in that game against the Chargers, overtime, at the end of overtime, makes a big-time throw to Zay Jones on third down to keep their drive moving and to push the ball into plus territory and eventually set up the go-ahead field goal to win that game. Really impressive from Derek Carr from a production standpoint all season long, but then you think about the leadership intangibles and what he's meant to this team in terms of being able to, you know, stabilize the franchise when they're going through a lot of adversity. I got to tip my cap to Derek Carr for that ability, and that intangible, that attribute, is something that I trust when it comes to trying to have success in the postseason.
Derek Carr may have done what I thought previously impossible, gotten himself out of the NFL quarterback's version of the friend zone this year. His
yes.
performance and the glow up he went on here may make him one of the more interesting veteran quarterbacks heading into this NFL offseason. But coming up next, we got to head back down to Houston here. The Texans have made moves today at their head coaching spot. We'll try and figure out where they go from here next. Canty and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.